All right, welcome everybody to this episode of O365A. Today we're joined by a very special guest, Michael Levy, the CEO of Pneumonix. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, thank you. I appreciate the special prefix, but thank you very much.
Well, we're excited to talk to you today about some new capabilities you have and some new products for Microsoft Teams call recording. So without further ado, let's jump into that. Maybe you can just give a high-level intro to yourself, Pneumonix, and the products involved.
Sure, absolutely. And thank you so much. Really appreciate and appreciate what you guys do for the industry. So I'm the CEO of Pneumonix. Pneumonix is a specialty recording or capture company for Teams and other integrations as well. Specifically, we're talking about Teams here. That's where we're seeing a lot of our interest in the last few years. But we have a few products which we service the market with. We have IX Cloud, which is a cloud-native end-to-end platform for recording Teams, for compliance recording, and for other verticals that need it. These days it's pretty flat. It's not only for compliance, although it's tagged compliance. And then we saw a lot of interest in that need from people just to use capture as a service and ingest that audio or media, video, whatever it may be, into their platforms for the new buzzword, which is AI. So I'll show you a little bit about IX Cloud, just a high-level overview again, some of the features where we're hearing a lot of keen interest about, but then also maybe talk you through TRS, which is our Teams recording as a service, bots as a service, and happy to entertain any questions, talk through a little bit about the commercial models and how they work, and go from there.
Sounds great.
So let me share my screen and just the regular stuff with our platform, something maybe since the last time we spoke. One of our most popular features, which is included in our enterprise version, is our, we still call it AD Sync, but IntraSync. Just to note, we have two versions of our product, which is business and enterprise. We don't typically have a lot of add-ons. We include everything in the versions that we do. The add-ons that we have currently are extra storage if you're using our storage. We have transcription as a service where we use cognitive services for that. And we have quality management as a service as well, which is the ability to do scoring and evaluation for calls, which is basically an internal survey on how someone performed on a call. The great feature of the IntraSync or AD Sync is the ability to do back and forth synchronization with IX Cloud from Intra. So when especially when you have larger groups of users, you're not managing recording policies in Intra and then users in IX Cloud. You're simply creating this app using Skim in Intra. You're adding your users to that app and then it auto syncs our platform. So once the system is set up, someone joins the company, sales group B, you just drop them in that group in Intra, it auto syncs, it will then set that user up in our platform. So from a service point of view, and from what we've seen, even with our compliance customers, some of them using ServiceNow, it's enabled them to do all their provisioning through ServiceNow even and protect their compliance along the way. So, and then everything is roles-based, which means that whatever the user's roles are in the system, to be able to access various parts, they can access those parts of the system and also make use of single sign-on, which is included with both versions. Now, I'm not going to use single sign-on, ironically, in this demo. I'm using a shared account, which is a root admin, and I'm going to log into a test platform, and using this mechanism, I'm going to get a one-time PIN, which I can then log into the platform with. It just takes a second, it's arrived, and that's going to authenticate me as a root admin, and I can show you a little bit in the system. So the main page, just a dashboard of widgets, I'm not going to go into great detail, really focus on the good stuff, but really simple navigation where you can manage your security of the system, so you can create your own roles in the system. Each role has various permissions to it that you can add and customize yourself. One of the features that I want to call out that's probably a year or so old, which is our GDPR delete or delete function, where we give you the ability to request and approve deletes in the system itself. typically in the world of recording, deleting a compliant call has always been a no-no. And if you were going to do it, you have to make various requests. And because of the limitation on what data we can see as a recording, a compliant vendor, you technically, it's quite a process. So we built a process in the platform where you can create a compliance account when you're logging in or when you're creating the tenant, and then you can give users the ability to request a deletion of a call. And how that looks is someone will go to a call, there'll be a request delete button, you'll then request the deletion, that then follows a workflow to the compliance officer, who will then review that, the reason why, they'll be able to then approve or reject it and give a reason for that, and then it goes in a workflow to delete that call. So in terms of GDPR, it's been a great feature for many of our clients to be able to maintain their compliance. Further along, from the user point of view, if you're using the AD Sync or EntraSync module, you are automatically applying different rules and roles to people. So here you can see me as a user, the root administrator role was inherited through a group that I'm in. So again, making it very simple to manage the system, as well as then you can manage playback permissions, who in the system has permission to play who back. And you can see here also these permissions being inherited through groups as well. Another strong feature we've adopted, which again, feedback from many of our compliance customers has helped them, is something called call playback reason, which is the ability to, when you've given someone the ability to playback someone's call, you can force them to type a reason why they're playing it back. And we have an audit log of who's played back calls and the reasons they've been playing it back. So I'm hoping that no one's been playing funny games in here with funny words and things. But if I'm looking at a log, and let's say I want to go back to see who's been playing back calls, I'm able to see over here who's been playing back calls, which calls, and I don't see any reasons here, but if anyone had that reason turned on, we'd see the reason they're playing it back here, and you'd be able to export that out the system as well. Further, one of our new features, quality management, which is the additional add-on, is the ability to create those custom scorecards in the system. So I can come in here, I can see that we have templates created, and for example, here's some sample ones. If I open one of them, I can see questions like, was the call documented? You have your answers, yes and no, whatever your answers, they free forms, how much points you've allocated to them, so you can weight the importance of those questions. And then once you have the templates, you can also then go and decide based on groups that you have who you want to have scored. So let's say this is an evaluated group. This is the evaluator for the group. And then you can also pick out a random percentage, and we have an algorithm that would automatically pull that random percentage of calls to a supervisor to go and then do a scoring. And if I'm a supervisor in this case, I'm able to come into quality management. I can come and look at the calls that I have to score. And you can see here, I have some that are in progress, some that haven't been started. And again, if I want to review a call, I can hit the play button, I can play back and listen to a call. There are other features we can do, but we can also go and evaluate the call where I can now see the call in here, and we have dual waveform, where again, you can mute either party if you want to hear clearer what they're saying if you're doing a scorecard. But I can now go pick a scorecard. So for example, if I want to pick that notes evaluation, I choose my template, and then I can go and answer those questions. Was the call documented? And so forth, if you're, reading through the questions that you have, answering those questions, and then completing the evaluation, where you would then get your scoring and so forth based on how that specific agent was performing. Now,
Michael, I just have a question, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Is there the concept of like an overall quality manager, so that I can see who has not completed all their evaluations and stuff like that, yes, just so that we can ensure that, that all our quality management is being taken care of?
Absolutely. So we have a reports where you can report based on quality scorecards that haven't been completed. So you can monitor who hasn't been completing it. But one of the interesting pieces is one of our roadmap items, which we're going to discuss maybe a little later, is this is all a manual process, which is standard stock in systems. And this has been around for for quite some time. In our premise-based system Recyc, we've had this for years and years and years. The trend is automated quality management, which is the ability to use AI or insights or machine learning to automatically gain these insights. And the benefit of that is currently, in order to, let's say we had a contact center or a company with 100 people being recorded, and each person was making 20 or even say 10 calls a day. That's 1,000 calls a day. For you to be able to go and evaluate even 10% of that, that's 100 calls, it's quite a task to get through and expensive. Now, companies do that all the time, and that's why they pick sample sets. But the trend towards the automated quality control is getting more and more because it's all an automated task. You can evaluate every call. It is still an expensive process, but as time goes by, I'm sure those prices, as happens with technology, will start coming down again. And again, we'll go into our TRAS product a bit later, where we're doing enabling for companies that already provide that service. And we give them the ability to, in a compliant way, capture the media from companies and deliver it to them in order to be able to do their quality management automated or whatever other insights they're delivering through AI.
Awesome.
Okay. And that was a good segue because that's where I was going next. And again, I'm not going into great detail on this now. You know, we've been into this before, I think, on one of our segments. But also just to note, there's that call delete because I have the ability to request a delete. I can go and request one. I can put the reason in here and enable that. And then what would happen is the compliance officer and the tenant would get that email to start that deletion process. Now, I can then come to reports here, and we can see here, evaluator productivity, that's the one you were referring to, where you can see a comparison of completed evaluation by the evaluators. So you can see the ones that were completed and not completed, and then refer back to them and see over time and how long it's taken them to complete them, as well as agent performance summaries. So you can come over here even, and we're adding more of these all the time, where you can come here, pick your date range, pick your users, pick your templates that you want to, let's say, pick all the templates, and then report based on those scorecards that were done. So you can see how your agents are performing against each other. Yes, Mike?
Is there a way to tell if the people reviewing the call have like listened to the full call or maybe only a percentage of the call when they're doing the evaluation to see if like, are they just picking things or are they actually going through the process of listening to the call multiple times and completing the evaluation?
So that's an interesting question. You can tell every time they've played back a call. There's a log and I'll go back to it to show you. But it's very difficult to tell which part of the call they've listened to, which that's a great feature request, which we'll take note of if there's a way how to do it. Because, again, that would be easy for someone just to go there, hit play and just go check, 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 check. The one thing you can do in the systems that, and I'll have a look at the reports here now, but I know it was in our roadmap, is something called a calibration, where you can actually calibrate a scorecard against another supervisor. So you can actually say, hold on, I want someone else to go do a scorecard on that same call, and then be able to immediately calibrate whether supervisors are scoring similarly on the same things, or if they're completely different, because then you can pick up whether you have a lazy supervisor who's literally just going in and doing. However, again, if you move to that automated quality at some point, then you have a machine doing it all, which is really in how you program it to do it. So basically, these are the reports. I'm going to go back to that. I'll go back to a call listing page, and let me just clear the filters. Then we can pull this up here. And for example, well, just so you know, when you're looking at the call listing, you can see whether it's a call. If it's a meeting, you'll see whether it's a meeting. You can see phone numbers here. If it's PSTN or if it's Teams to Teams, you'd see the UPN. But you can also then, if you open up that call in more detail, you're going to have the ability to see in an activity log who's shared the call, if you've shared it, who's played it back. So you can actually see dates and times when people have played it back. And if they're typing in that playback reason, you're going to see that. You can see that it says reason null there because this one doesn't have it enabled, but you'd also see it. So you could technically enable playback reason for every agent, And when they go and evaluate, they type something in. So immediately you could also see that they were paying attention and they weren't just hitting the play button. So let's say you request someone, you say, Bob, go and score that call because of this. Bob can log in. You can have a procedure saying, log in, type something in, and then go and review it. Yes, Mike.
The way you're pulling the compliance recording, does it give it any indication that watermarks are being used in the recording or any of the sensitivity label types with the like the Teams Premium? Do you get that pulled through as part of the compliance
recording?
So we do.
It doesn't note it in the recording. You have the notifications, but we do have hatches or watermarks in the calls that can prove that they haven't been tampered with. Absolutely, we do have that. But there's nothing... There's no feature yet that allows you to opt out. And, you know, typically if you see the banner come up that you're being recording and you don't want to be recorded, you can just bail out of the call. What we do have, which I can show you, which is relatively new, I believe it should be enabled on my system, is the ability we have in our enterprise version. We have a native Teams app that allows you to choose a mode of recording. And here we go. I'm dragging that across. You can see here, it allows you to choose different modes of recording. So you can, if you wanted some users to be on record on demand in a compliant way without full-time recording, they could just hit this record button here like that. And you can see now I'm recording using my compliant bot. I can also stop recording. This is all controlled through a profile, and I'll show you that profile in the system now. And that profile can control what a person who's being recorded sees in this app. For example, if someone was a full-time recorded user, this button wouldn't be here and this would be red all the time. If someone wanted to do muting for PCI, and what we do is we don't mask areas of a call, we insert silence so that nothing is recorded during that time for compliance or PCI. You could mute during the sensitive information. And then finally, if you don't want PCI muting and you don't want record on demand but full-time, but you want someone to opt out, let's say someone told you, hey, please don't record me, we have a cancel button that you can actually terminate that call and get rid of all the remnants of that call as well. So this is a pretty cool feature that's available. And it's managed, let me go back to here. It is managed through something we call a recording profile. Or a profile, and we have different types of profiles in the system. We have security, we have retention profiles, where you can specify how long your retention policies are. But let's say I'm going to add a recording profile, and I'm going to create that profile. And now you can see the attributes I can add to that profile. Do I want to record in stereo because I'm using transcription? Do I prefer a more compressed audio, so GSM 8,000 hertz, or do I want a split waveform with PCM 16,000? Do I want to record screen sharing recording or video? Now, we include screen sharing and video in all of our licenses, no additional charge. Do you want the announcement that the call is being recorded on, or do you want to enable transcription for certain groups so it's not a tenant-wide feature? And then selective recording features like, okay, I'm going to enable that app for some users. Do I want them to use the cancel recording feature? Do I want them to use record on demand? Do I want them maybe to do the PCI muting? And then further filters like, let's get creative here. We don't want outbound calls recorded. We don't want inbound calls recorded or internal calls. Yes, Dino.
Sorry, I was going to just interrupt you, but I was going to ask much to the chagrin of many Teams users, when PowerPoint Live is used and they record it using regular native recording in Teams, you don't actually see the PowerPoint Live. I'm wondering if you're able to capture PowerPoint Live. And
if you're sharing, that's an interesting question, but typically everything in the screen share of the person sharing the screen, we'd be able to get it. We don't per se record the file itself, like the actual PowerPoint file, but we will record everything in the screen share.
So even if the user selects the PowerPoint Live view in Teams, not just you're doing a desktop share and the PowerPoint's visible, that can get recorded. But when they go into that native PowerPoint Live experience, that's when things tend to when they drop down.
So that's an interesting one. I haven't seen that use case, but I'd be happy to give it a whirl sometime and try it.
Yeah.
Would be an interesting one for us to note. You know, we're always willing to undertake some interesting new things. Speaking of that, one of the things we are releasing within the next month is desktop screen recording for Teams. So the ability to capture someone's desktop while they're on a Teams call and present that as well. We've always had that for other integrations. Because of our cloud native infrastructure and multi-tenancy, it's a little more complex in cloud native, but it will. We're just in the final productization phase of that, but it will be something available within May, is a great feature.
That use case is that would be like maybe a contact center agent. You want to see what they're clicking on and what they're doing outside of the actual call. I see.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Also, from a compliance point of view, that when someone is maybe reading them something over the phone, they're not typing it in their notepad or whatever to save it. Right. You actually have a full track of what they're doing. Yes, Curtis.
A really quick question. As I see, I think about data in the cloud, security is everything. I'm sure anyone who consumes this is really interested in what's being done to secure all these call recordings because they're in the cloud, right? I don't know if you want to just talk about sort of where they're stored and how they're secured.
Sure, absolutely. So everything is encrypted in 256-bit encryption, and the encryption keys are stored in Key Vault. Every client has its own dedicated and segregated storage location, a blob storage account within our platform if they choose it. We include storage, a terabyte included, and they can acquire additional GRS. We use GRS. However, in our enterprise version, we do have the ability, and I can show you over here, where a client can attach their own blob storage account to our platform using SaaS Server SaaS or User Delegation SaaS. So they would then input their credentials, test and save, and then it would automatically store the calls within their Azure account. So the encrypted files reside in their account. But we do also have regional platforms. We have 7. We have in the US and Canada, government, US, UK, Germany, South Africa, Australia. We have bots also everywhere in Singapore as well. So we pretty much from our hosted cover those regions, but we have many customers who choose to use their own storage. So they could be using, for example, the platform in Germany with bots in Germany with their storage account in the Netherlands. Or they could have a dedicated bot if they choose to go dedicated in Sweden or wherever they choose to. So we have bots in other regions as well, but those are more customer dedicated because we do have customers who want their own bots as well without, their own dedicated bots in the region of their choice.
Got it. Well, my next question was data sovereignty. So you just answered that.
Yeah. So we do maintain data sovereignty. Very, very important. We continue to learn new things all the time about customer requirements. And we've seen some very interesting things. And a lot of our features are based on customer requirements that they've asked of us. Good.
Sounds good.
So coming back here, so we saw the playback log. Something as well that I'd like to show you is the deletion log. And I'm not sure I have anything in this platform. I could access another one of our platforms to show you, but essentially we got one in here. If you're going to do a delete or request a delete, you can see here was a call by this user on this date and time. This person requested that the call be deleted, but before it was approved, someone canceled it and that request. If a call is deleted, the only remnant of a call will be this. You'll see who requested it, the reason why. You'd see when it was approved and the reason why it was approved. And this can be exported as a report out the system as well. So we've tried to accommodate many different compliance reasons or features. We've had some great feedback from many of our compliance customers about regulatory audits that they've had, the shortened time because of a lot of these features available within the platform. So it's been very beneficial to many of them. One other feature I think I did, we have... perhaps run through it before, but just as a, in fact, let me go back. Sorry, I don't want to move to too many places at once, but I was busy on the recording profile. And just to show you also some of the interesting things in the recording profile was the ability, which is a feature that gets asked all the time, is to only record calls coming through specific call queues. So while in Teams you can't target call queues through the API, the Graph API, what we've done is provide filters for them. So you still target the users as normal by their UPN, but you can say only activate recording for a call if it's come through a specific call queue, you know, by display name, DNS, QID, the queue phone number, user principal, or the principal name. And you can also not record. So you could use the not equal. So for example, we have customers in Europe that have in their IVR hit 5 if you do not wish to be recorded. When an agent receives a call coming through that queue, we've identified it as a not equal, and it won't record it if it comes through that queue. So you can also see here, we have a ton of different filters. We even use internally caller name and caller number. So when I call certain people in our company, it recognizes my name or my number, and it won't record. Otherwise, everything else will record to those users. So for calls, there's some great filters. And we do the same for meetings. So meetings, you can filter by the organizer. You can filter by the subject name. So you can say only record a meeting if the subject of the meeting has the word record in the meeting, or let's not record the meeting if it has, you know, DN record. And we can go, don't record the meeting only if it's organized by a specific person and it has do not record. So there are tons of different filters that you can apply. I'd like to say, and I don't always like saying it, but we're the pioneers of the filters for Teams recordings, because we had them, you know, May 19th, 2020, when the API went live and we were up and running. Within the first month, people were like, hey, this is recording my internal calls to HR. What are we going to do? And it's like, well, the API records everything. And it was then, hey, guys, we have to do something internally to try and build a rules engine to be able to automatically filter. And another one that was suggested by a client that we built, which is quite a challenging one, but been used a lot, is external participants only. So let's say the air crew gets on a call and you guys don't want to be recorded, but as soon as I join, and you're all from the same domain, but as soon as I join it, it automatically starts recording. And as soon as I leave, it stops. So when the sum of external participants is one or more, or if guest or PSTN in the meeting is one or more, it records. And if it's zero, it stops recording. So really, really neat feature, and all automatic. So you're not having any human intervention in anywhere to start or stop. And another great thing is that Record on Demand app that I showed you, the rules apply to it as well. So even though someone has that app, if you say no internal calls recorded in our company, if they have that app and they try push record in an internal call, it won't record that internal call because it's not allowed within the company. So that pretty much is IX Cloud. The next evolutions of what's coming in IX Cloud is we already have transcription is built into IX Cloud, so you can search by keywords and view that within calls. But we have our meeting summaries, you know, a lot of the cool new stuff through the API. The meeting summaries are coming out, sentiment analysis, things like that within the next few months. And then evolving to that automated quality control as well. The more advanced analytics is something that we enable through partnerships. And that's enabled a lot through our second product, which I'm going to talk to you about, and there's no screens to show, which is TRAS. And TRAS is Teams Recording as a Service, which, for lack of a better term, is bots, certified bots as a service. So any company or any person that's looking to build an app or build anything through Teams media, audio, video, screen sharing, but doesn't want to go through the headache and heartache of integration and hiring people to maintain it, dealing with the certification process, M365 certs, and all those costs and everything associated, which, you know, are pretty steep and laborious, we provide bots as a service. And what we've done is we've created access to these bots using APIs so that you can also use all the features we have in our product. So let's say you're building a native, you know, an analytics platform that you want to capture Teams audio. You don't need our UI and everything. You just want to suck audio in from a blob storage account or whatever it may be, but you don't want internal calls recorded as well. We've made API access to do that as well that you can, through that, restrict different rules. So you can build your own product start to finish using our TRAS product. And it's been adopted really well. We don't only have recording companies use it that want to expand integrations quickly, but analytics companies as well. One of the more well-known ones is a company called Gong that provides revenue intelligence, which was looking for a reliable way and not having to go into that process of building their own capture, but being able to simply just plug something in and get going quickly for clients. And we were able to do that. And we're seeing it more and more for companies as well, wanting to accumulate, you know, lots of data, because as we know, that data is what fuels AI. You can't analyze anything if you don't have it. So companies already are looking, even if they're not using it right away, historic data is as important as current data. They're looking just to, you know, bank that data somewhere because it's becoming extremely valuable.
Just curious, Michael, how is that product priced, given that it's sort of an intermediary?
So that's a great question, and I'm pleased you asked it. So one of the great pieces of that is also to minimize exposure to our customers. It's really majorly a consumption-based product. So there is a minimal fee to keep the bot up and running and us providing you support or, you know, on it. But essentially, you're paying us for what you use. So based on hours recorded. And again, audio, video, screen sharing. And in fact, it is available on Azure Marketplace as well. So the great part about it is a lot of the customers who are using it are have Mac agreements themselves. So it's a great way to consume Azure out of your own Mac agreement without you know, without having to build your own product.
Very good.
So I really think I think that really encompasses what we're doing at the moment. We're going to be at a few shows, so I know your viewers are all keen attendees to, you know, the likes of Comms VNext and Comms Verse. We will be there. We have some exciting things we're doing there. We released something this week with our RecorderBot Run that you can, you know, watch out what we're doing. It's going to be a lot of fun. So just some interesting info.
Just quickly, I wanted to ask about roadmap, and no conversations complete without AI and Copilot. I'm just interested in sort of high level. Can you speak to where these products are headed, or any? I could dream up 1,000 scenarios within the next hour using Copilot with this data or AI. But what are sort of some of the high level vision for the products headed in the next couple of years?
Yeah. So from the perspective, we always want to be focused on the capture side of things because we see a lot of people in our space going more towards, you know, analytics, and, you know, you need reliable capture to be able to, you know, do reliable analytics. So we're always keep our eye on the ball of the innovative features within our platform, like the rules engine and some interesting little tweaks that we can do to that. But again, because we are cloud native and we are completely Microsoft, the, you know, invested, every component of ours runs in Azure. We are using their APIs. We're working directly with Microsoft on the AI elements. So the meeting summaries and insights into meetings, automated quality control. There's some elements of that we're doing as well. But essentially, we've had a lot of interesting discussions about Copilot and the level of security of data using Copilot, which, you know, Copilot is a personal assistant that's amazing and it's got amazing capabilities. But how do you make sure that your data is protected correctly when using it? And I'm sure there's going to be tons of blogs and stories and webinars and things to do with that. But I've heard some interesting things already of companies using it where, you know, they gave access to a certain pool of data and people are typing in questions that are coming back with responses that they shouldn't be receiving it. So our goal with our access to meeting insights and, you know, Copilot type data is to be able to bring a compliance edge over that, to be able to make sure that, you know, whatever data you're, you know, it's carefully segmented to the groups that have access to it, and that we're delivering the results of what we're analyzing in a compliant way as well. And again, giving some of those compliance insights into the data that we're recording as well, and automatically flagging, you know, sensitive data, non-compliant data, and stuff like that.
I was going to ask earlier if you had that feature set where you could go through the recording and flag sensitive data. So yeah, that's interesting.
That's roadmap in the near future. Correct. Yes.
All right. Sounds good. Well, we really appreciate you coming on, Michael. Fantastic demos. Looking forward to it. I guess if people are interested in trying it out, they just head to the Pneumonix website, and I guess there's information on product trials there.
Absolutely. And we're in Azure Marketplace as well. And we work with, we work with partners globally. We have influencers globally who recommend our product, who talk through our product. So we're always happy to help and teach people and help them understand our product and navigate the industry. It's interesting. I always tell people as well, you don't have to buy from us to get our advice. We're happy even just to help you if we can't help. We'd like to help you even if our product doesn't work for you. Because sometimes things just don't fit together, and we understand that.
Yep. No, that's sounds like a good community approach too. So sounds good, Michael. Well, we'll leave it at that, and hope to catch you at some conferences or somewhere along the line. So appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.